Good morning, everyone. So before we start, I'd like to introduce myself again. I'm Gary Fett, and I noticed last week I just said my name, and I forget, you know, that when you're here for a long time, IBC is a church which constantly changes. And so afterwards, there was a, who are you again? And, you know, like, who is this person in this church? You know, like, and I just wanted to say a bit to my person so that at least you get to know who is speaking with you. So I'm born in Cameroon and raised there. I came to Germany in 2005 to study, and I've been living here since. I live in Essen, and I've been at IBCD since 2012, and I've been one of our elders here at IBCD since 2015. So I'm filling in for our pastor Jeff, who's away on medical leave, for those who are new here today, and he's going to be back with us in 2 weeks. And for the month of April, and then after that, he's going to be gone on the sabbatical again to the end of the year. So you're going to be seeing me more often, I think, in front. And if you have any other questions, feel free to approach me afterwards, and I'll happily answer them for you. Last week, we were talking about spiritual senses, and we talked about our hearing, and we learned in the parable, most Bibles title the section the parable of the sower, but I like to call it the parable of the hearers, because I think Jesus was speaking more to those who hear than to the sower. And we learned that we need to be careful how we listen. You know, we need to pay attention to that, and so that we can actually develop characteristics of good spiritual listening, so that we can take what is said, internalize it, put it into practice, so that our lives and our hearts can be transformed. Today we are going to be looking at another one, and that is going to be the sense of touch. And touch is perceived by the largest organ we have in our body. You know, in our physical sense of touch, is how we perceive it through our skin. And our skin is the largest organ, very sensitive. And there's a lot of scientific research which has gone into the effects of touch in the human body. And we've seen that it can be used to convey a lot of complex emotions, you know, just empathy, compassion, anger, different kinds of emotions can be conveyed with a simple act of touch. And in the same way, it has been shown that it's fundamental to communication, it's fundamental to bonding, health, and it's known to have a calming effect. You know, they've done studies with babies, and I was reading a few studies, and like some premature babies were born at the same times, and the ones which were touched regularly by their parents, just for a few minutes per day, grew faster and healthier than the ones who were not. So we see that it's something that is very core to who we are as human beings, and it's something which is universal as well, across cultures and across religious affiliations. Touch is known to have a nurturing, calming effect, which encourages growth, reduces stress, and promotes cooperation among us. And I believe in the same way spiritual touch can transform our lives, can have a profound impact on our course in life. And you might be wondering, what is spiritual touch? And in a way, we all some kind of feel we know what it means, but how do you actually put it in words, right? And for me, reflecting over this, I would say it's all that we undertake which has that effect of nurturing, of comforting, of calming, of encouraging, and bringing healing to the people around us, bringing healing to the souls around us, touching people's spirits, touching people's lives. And today we're going to be looking at the example of a woman who touched Jesus and in return was also touched by Jesus. And we are still in the book of Luke, chapter 8, if you have your Bibles. We are down, last week we had the first few verses, and today we are down in verse 40. And we're going to read from verse 40 to 48. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because only his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. So these few verses tell the story of a miracle between miracles, right? Jesus was there, was been teaching the people, and he's on his way to perform another miracle, and kind of on his way, the story happens. And we are never told the name of the woman who touched Jesus. All we know about her is that she had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. Now, let's take a step back and examine how life must have been for this woman. First, 12 years is a long time to suffer from any chronic condition. In Mark chapter 5, verse 26, and we are told the same story. And Mark underscores that this woman was basically broke. She had spent everything she had on doctors trying to find a cure. And she had been disappointed many times. In fact, the Bible says she had suffered at the hands of many doctors. And if you've been in chronic pain, personally I've not been, but I've witnessed close family, you realize that it can drive you to desperation. You would try anything to relieve the pain. And so when I was thinking about this, I could imagine this woman, any charlatan who came and claimed to have a cure, who claimed to be able to help her, who claimed to be able to do something for her, she would at least give it a try because she would like to be relieved from her suffering. So this woman was broke, she was in suffering, and she had been disappointed countless times. The other thing about this is the woman was living in first century times. Now, there was no abundance of modern medicine. There was no abundance of the hygiene products we have today. Moreover, there were laws regarding ritual uncleanness, which were still in effect. So this means this woman had been considered ritually unclean by her society for 12 long years. Now, I went back and read in the book of Leviticus, which deals about uncleanness for men and women in regards to bodily discharges. And being in this state for this woman had certain consequences. She could not interact normally in social settings. She could not touch people. Any items she touched became unclean, and if people touched those items, they became unclean as well. So it means she couldn't do whatever people normally did, right? Go to the well to fetch water, go to the market to, you know, buy stuff to eat, or just interact like people would with other people. This means this woman has been technically isolated for 12 long years. Now, think about that for a moment. That is a long time to not be able to touch anybody around you, to be careful about whatever items you touch. Probably you're living very segregated. And I can't even imagine how isolating that must have been for her to have to undergo this for such a long time. In the story of Luke, we see this woman's destiny changed radically by a touch she had with Jesus. Similarly, there are other stories in the miracles that Jesus performed about man who had been crippled, I think, for 38 years, and you know, the man who was crippled and lying on a sick bed and was lowered by the roof. And an encounter with Jesus changed their fate. This woman had an encounter with Jesus. Specifically, she touched Jesus. And she was touched also by God. And I'd like us to go through this story and go through it verse by verse, because I think there are some lessons, at least for me, that I could apply to my life when looking at this story. Because I believe we are called to also touch the lives around us. We are called to go out and be little Christs in the world, to emulate Christ's example, to bless, to heal, to encourage, to comfort, to nurture. And let's look at the example of this woman to see how she did it. First, we are told, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Now, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. Now, in order for the woman to touch Jesus, she had to push through a crowd which was thick and was crushing in on Jesus. And that tells me that in order to reach out and touch people in life, touch people who are around me, it will be necessary to take down barriers. There's many barriers in our lives today that prevent us from having the impact in the world around us. And just recently, a few months ago, and probably shared with a few of you, the exercise that has been for me in my life has been going through my calendar and trying to reprioritize things. Because we can get so busy in our lives, we can get so caught up in whatever it is we are doing that we forget to reprioritize, we forget what is actually important. And so we need to be able to take down those barriers, those things that keep us from focusing on what is truly important in life, that allow us to move beyond the excuses. And there are many good reasons why, you know, similar reasons why I don't have time, I'm busy right now, I have my own problems, what about me? There's many good reasons, there's many things that we can tell ourselves which will allow us to focus just inward. But we need to take down these barriers if we're going to truly touch other people's lives. Because that act of touching people's lives requires us to reach out beyond ourselves, to reach out and impact other people in ways that would bless them. And in the same way, we are blessed. But only when we dare to go beyond the borders, to dare to go beyond the barriers which keep us hemmed in, which prevent us from seeking to bless. The next thing I see in the passage is that it's going to take effort. The Bible says, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. This woman had to push through the crowd, and technically she wasn't supposed to be there, right? She was considered in that time ritually unclean, and in a crowd like that, people wouldn't welcome her in it, but she had to push through to actually reach Jesus and actually in order to be blessed by him. It requires effort, just the same way as you can be surrounded by people and still be lonely. I think it's possible also to be in proximity with a lot of people but never really touch their lives. We can come to church every day and go back and never really connect, never really impact people's lives. There were many people in the crowd. They were crushing on Jesus, the Bible tells us. But the one who touched him was this woman. And Jesus knew immediately because he said, power was gone out from me. Are you just in proximity of people? Or are you actually impacting their lives? Sometimes it's very easy for us to, especially in churches, you know, to get busy, to get caught up with doing actually sometimes good work, that we never stop to think that we need to take an extra effort to reach out to people who might be needing our touch, to people who might be needing a blessing from us. And that is easy, especially when you're in a place where people constantly change. You come to church, you see the people you already know, you greet them, you talk with them, you go for lunch with them, and that's all great. But especially in a place like IBC, the people are always, there's always new people. And it takes an effort to go out of your comfort zone to say, okay, today I'm trying to identify the people who are new, to approach them, to maybe say hello. Because I know people who have changed my life. But just being there to come and say, hello, how are you doing? And just talk to me in times when things were dark. But that takes effort. It takes deliberate action. In order to touch people's life, we will have to be deliberate. In order to have an impact, it's going to take an effort from us. The question is whether we are willing to put in that effort. The question is whether we are willing to go the extra mile. How do you relate to those around you? And it can even be family, people who are technically close to us, who we are in proximity with regularly, on a regular basis, but we are not really touching their lives. We are not really impacting their lives. We are close but running very parallel to one another. So I want to ask every one of us to ask ourselves, who are those around me that I need to take a deliberate effort to reach out and touch? That I'm close to, but I'm actually not impacting their lives, nor they mine. And when you identify that, then that's the first step in taking the effort to stop and ask, how are you doing? And which brings us to the next thing, which I see in this passage is, immediately the woman was touched, the Bible tells us, immediately her bleeding stopped. And in 4 verse 45 says, who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me. In order to touch people's lives, we would need to take time. And that is our most precious resource, right? The time we have is limited. The time we have is passing. And when we give out our time to someone, we never get it back. Unlike many other resources which we have. Jesus took the time for this woman. And when we read also in Luke 6, the Bible tells us that this is not the first time something like this has happened before. There were other times when Jesus was in crowds and they were pressing around him. And the Bible tells us he was being touched and that people were touching him and getting healed because power was going out from among him. But in this particular crowd, there was just one person who received that same healing. And it was the woman. And we see Jesus stop and take time for her. Now, in order for me, what I find also peculiar about this is that Jesus was on the way to Jairus' home. In verse 40 and 41, we read that Jairus came and pled with Jesus, my daughter is dying, my 12-year-old girl, please come and help. Now imagine yourself in Jairus' shoes. And Jesus stops and it's like, who touched me? And everybody's like, dude, come on, you know. I can imagine the incredulity of the disciples. It's like, master, like, how can you ask a question like that? But Jesus knew that there was somebody there who needed his time, who needed his attention, his focused attention. Touching people's lives would require sacrifice of our time, would require taking the time to get to know somebody, taking the time to go past the pleasantries to find out how someone is really doing. The woman had been healed, but Jesus knew she needed more than the healing, and so he took the time for her. She needed the attention. Not that she wanted it, because we see in the next part that everybody denied it in the first round. And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came forward, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. This woman didn't want the attention. She was happy to be healed and go home. Because one, she wasn't supposed to be there. She was ritually unclean. Number two, she was touching a respected rabbi, someone who was popular among the people, and would thereby make Jesus unclean. So there was serious consequences for what she was doing. And so she hid. She denied it. But Jesus insisted. And now I ask myself, was Jesus asking this question because he didn't know who touched him? Obviously not. And I guess that's what the woman also figured out. If I touched him and he knew I touched him, and he stopped and asked, then it doesn't mean that at some point I'm going to be identified. I think there's two reasons why Jesus wanted the woman to come forward. One was to explain that it was not his cloak that healed her. Jesus' garment didn't have mystical properties. It was not magic. But Jesus wanted her to understand that her faith had healed her. And I believe this was also for the benefit of all those who were around him. Because like we said, this was not the first time this was happening. People had been healed by touching Jesus before. Now I want to encourage anyone who is in that place where you might be seeking healing, you might be seeking comfort. And when you reach out and touch Jesus, you will be healed. The second reason I think Jesus stopped to identify this woman was because he wanted her to tell her story. Jesus knew, I believe, who had touched him knew why and knew her background. But Jesus wanted her to tell her story in her own words because it had power, her story. She was being a witness to the goodness of God in her life. And we see it all every time Jesus healed people, even the ones he healed in private and told them they wanted to follow Jesus, Jesus would say, no, don't follow me, go and tell of the good things that Jesus, that God has done for you. And I believe this is key to actually touching the people in our lives. Telling your story. Because that is what it means to be a witness. We talk about going out and witnessing about our faith. It's not about just telling the story of salvation. Many people know that. And yes, it's important. But more than that, it's about telling what Christ has done for you. What God has done in your life. Because that encourages. Because we become authentic. Because people can look at us and see the goodness of God and know that there is still hope for them. And so Jesus stopped for this woman to tell her story. Jesus stopped so that she would tell the crowd. The Bible tells us, you know, and she came in the presence of all the people. She was basically admitting that she had come there where she was not welcome and that she had touched Jesus' cloak and she had been healed without any other sort of interaction between Jesus and the woman. She was healed. And I believe that was a powerful lesson for the disciples and the crowds who were following Jesus. But it was because the woman told her story. When we are authentic, when we tell our story, when we open up, then we are authentic and we can build trust. And when there is trust, that is when we can have the most impact in people's lives around us. Because people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so are you willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to tell your story? It's hard, I know. I'm the first person to admit to that. But when we lower down the barriers, then we realize that God can use the places of your deepest hurt to bring greatest blessing to people around you. Oftentimes, we think God would use us to minister to people out of our strengths. And my experience has been the complete opposite. It's been out of the places of weakness, out of the places where I have not been able, out of the places where I have failed and seen the grace of God over and over in my life, that God has been able to truly bless people. Because we become relatable, because people can see that God is working in the life of someone just like me. And so there is hope for me. Truly touching people's lives would require us to be willing to lower the barriers. We'll be willing to reach out in love. We'll be willing to allow ourselves to be seen. And that is a scary thought, to allow yourself to truly be seen. There are people who are great friends or even married for many years and they have never truly lowered the walls to one another. To allow yourself to truly be seen. It's scary, but also very liberating. And it brings tremendous blessing both to you and to the people around you. Are you willing to tell your story? Are you willing to allow God to use your places of weakness, your places of hurt, to bring encouragement and blessing to the world around you, to touch the lives of the people around you? I believe when we do these things, we can sharpen our sense of touch. We can choose to tear down the barriers. We can choose to take the effort. We can choose to take the time. And we can choose to tell our own story. And when we do that, we'll have an impact on the lives around us. Are you in touch with Jesus? Are you just in proximity with him? Do you come to church every Sunday, go back, have the routine, but you're not really in a relationship with Christ? It would take the effort. It would take time. And therefore, I encourage every one of us to examine ourselves. Where do we stand before God? Where do we stand before our fellow brothers and sisters? Are you just in proximity with people like the crowds we're crushing in? Or are you really in relationship? Are you growing in your spiritual walk? Are you blessing the people around you? Are you touching the lives around you for the better? So I encourage you as you leave today to think about the places in your life where you can actively tear down the barriers. Go through your calendar if you have to. Set apart time to make those calls. Because it's always, I've seen it often, especially myself, like, oh yeah, let's get together. Yeah, yeah, nice to see you sometime. Yeah, let's get together, bye. And like 3 months later we meet again. Oh yeah, we should get together sometime. And I believe I'm not alone. It takes effort. It takes setting apart the time. And it takes telling your story. Are you going to do that practically? We learned last week, when we hear the word, what we do with it determines the impact it has in our lives. So reflect on that. What are you going to do with this? Are you going to be willing to let God touch your life and use you to touch other people around? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the rain. Because, oh Lord, we know that the rain and the sun come from you. We pray, oh Father, that you would help us to meditate on your word, to put it into practice, to re-examine ourselves, oh God, so that we can take concrete steps to become better at touching the lives around us, to develop our spiritual sense of touch so that we can bring love, bring nurture, bring comfort, bring healing, oh God, to the people around us and to the world around us. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you for coming and demonstrating love for us so that we could see your example. Strengthen us, oh God, with the will and ability to emulate your example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.